Well, I give, Lee, would you give Debbie one of those? Anybody else not get one of these? Basically what I did with that, I didn't want to make this a big deal and make too much to divert your attention, but I was putting this together. This is basically my notes, and I thought, you know what, might be helpful because breaking down this, we're going to look at King Asa tonight, and breaking down this timeline and seeing where he was the first 10 years, and then the 11th year when the million man army came, and then 25 years later when he had another challenge and the different way that he handled that. And the more I looked at that, I thought, well, I'm going to do a timeline and we'll just share these things. But I had something else. I really feel that God dropped it in my lap, and I think I really feel it was a gift that he gave me for us. For us. And it wasn't a direction that I had started out. The reason I came to this passage, as I was looking like for case studies. Case studies on how we handle the darkness. Case studies on how we handle the opposition. Anything where there was someone had an opportunity to handle it the one way or the other way. This is how I came to 2 Chronicles 16. And of course we have the very familiar verse in that the eyes of the Lord to and fro over all the whole earth, looking to those who are fully committed to him that he might show himself strong in their behalf. But wow, does that stand out when we look at that, because that verse, and I got a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm just going to roll with it, okay? That verse is actually, it's a rebuke to Asa because he had not done that. Now here is the part, and I guess I'm just going to go ahead and come into this. Here is the part that I think God gave me for us. Because we are an older church, aren't we? And that's who we are, folks. You know, our lives are a vapor. I've talked about this before. Our lives are a vapor. And yet how amazing that in these moments that we have that we can impact eternity. Now here's what hit me with this story. And again, it wasn't direct. I feel like God gave this as a gift and something I can share with you. Asa, we're going to see, took his foot off the pedal. And he did not end well. He just backed off. And we're going to be able to see very clearly he was not as committed to the Lord God as he was earlier. He had one army come up. He handled it one way. It honored God. The next army came up. Wasn't near the size. Wasn't really near the threat. And he handled it a different way. There were 25 years in between. We're going to see from this 2 Chronicles verse that we quote so often that Asa took his foot off. He backed off. He backed off. We have this thing, and it's widespread. Do not misinterpret what I'm saying. This is not a rebuke to you. This is, I think, can be great encouragement to you. It's how I intend it. I think it's how God has spoken to me to speak to you, for it to be intended. What opportunity that we have. Too often we say, well, I'm older. And, you know, I've got this, and we'll hear people say, well, it's time the young people did this, and it's time that. We have opportunities. Maybe we don't have 30 or 40, 50 years, but we have even one day, 1 week, 1 year, 5 years, however much that is, to redeem the time in the name of God. You follow what I'm saying? Because we so look at time and the age of a person from a worldly perspective. Oh, well, we're at the end of our life. Well, that part is true. But let's look at it on God's timeline, because really, when we look at it on God's timeline, our whole life is just a vapor. Yeah. It's just a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. So, really, what's the difference between having 60 years left and having 10 years left? I believe that there are enough faithful saints, men and women, at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, to get God's attention when he's looking to and fro across the earth to see who is fully committed to him, that he might show himself strong in our behalf. I think that's something that we have the stirring of that. The people that he has assembled in this fellowship, long before Carrie and I were ever on the scene, just God's bringing people in like this. Bringing people in like this. Now, was it great having these two boys here with us today? And would I just love to have more and fill up half the church with the kids? Oh, yeah.
They said they were going to bring somebody next week, though.
Yeah. And, we put it before the Lord, but they just really seem to connect, and they're very social. You weren't here when I said, but I did make it to their game. Spoke with both of them briefly. And Keegan told me, I told them this, but I'll tell you because you had him downstairs. I'd called Blake's name, and he kind of smiled and kind of acknowledged me. He didn't make too big of a deal of it. You know how kids are, got to be kind of cool. But Keegan's coming along, and I call his name out. He said, "Hi, Pastor." Big grin. He said, "I knew you'd come." So do we want? Yes, we do. But folks, you have something here. Your faithful spirits.
Dave, I would ask people to pray for Juanita and me. This week, we are going to go call on a woman here in town who's been housebound. And Juanita knows her really well. I knew her. But just pray that we can be an encouragement to her. I believe she's a believer. That's what my personal...
Let's just stop and pray. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mary Jane and Juanita's spirit and wanting to reach out to this woman. And we don't know those the circumstances and the person even right now, but you know that fully and completely. And we just pray that this visit would be the blessing of God through these women that you're sending to her door, and that you would speak to her heart. If she's not a believer, Lord, that in some way that they can communicate this wonderful saving gospel that you've brought to mankind. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. But this is what I felt like God dropped in my lap. Wasn't the direction at all I was going.
But she's 99. She can still do something, right?
Yeah, 99. See, that's the thing is we so look at it. It's like one day. It's like the 80 years. That's like a vapor. Well, one day is like. But in view of eternity. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is, and I believe we have the heart's desire in this fellowship to say, you know what, we're going to quit listening to what people say we could be or we can do. And we bow ourselves before God and see if God comes looking for us to show himself strong in our behalf. I have complete sincerity in sharing this with you. This out of the blue. It fits. It's in this text, but not the personal part of it. Asa missed it. Now, King Asa, he still was buried with honor. He did a lot of good things. He started out well. He brought revival. He tore idols down. He destroyed false gods. He had a million-man army come. He relied on the Lord. But by the 36th year of his reign, he just didn't see that it was that necessary to trust God that fully. Baasha came up, the king of Israel. And I think probably everyone here knows that the kingdom has been divided by them. Israel to the north, Judah to the south. And he came up, and what it is in 2 Chronicles 16, is it 1st or 2nd Chronicles?
2nd
Chronicles, okay. 16, and he came up and he was building a fortress because the people from the north were heading to the south because the south, we say, well, who's trending now? Well, the south was trending in a positive way. As far as the economy, things were going well. And so he built that. That was intimidating to Asa. So the good king of the south. So instead of Asa seeking God on this, as he sought God and as he relied on God, the chapter 14, you'll see in the timeline, chapter 14, when the million man army came, and Asa put it before the Lord, and the Lord went before them and defeated, utterly defeated the Ethiopians. I guess he didn't see the need for God to be involved. What happened in that 25 years? I've got a question on there. This message has gone all over the place. It's what's there, but it's not nearly where direct. But can you think of where you were 25 years ago? Might be a little scary for some of us. I was still the pastor of Portage Community Bible Church in Portage, Indiana. 1990. That's 25 years, right? Got my math right there. Yeah. Chuck, you were still teaching at Western, weren't you? Gerald, you were still teaching math at Western?
He's coming from Ohio State.
25 years ago, 1990?
Yeah, he did a sabbatical at Ohio State.
Okay. Daryl, were you still putting out parts for Caterpillar 25 years ago?
Yes.
Lee was 11 years old. I got that right, 11?
Yeah.
12, somewhere around in there, yeah.
I didn't have any grandchildren.
No grandchildren.
Now I've got 11.
Now you've got 11. 25 years.
I was a kid.
What?
I don't count because I was a kid.
Don't count because you were a kid, yeah.
I was a kid. But...
You were waxing humorous, right? But we don't know what happened in those 25 years, but what we do know is that his commitment to God, his trust in God. Remember we looked at this morning, the greatest thing that David had going for him was his full and complete trust in God to be God. Now, let me go to 2 Chronicles 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or come in to King Asa of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending to you silver and gold. Go, break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." Now, depending on your translation, but ESV says there is a covenant. Like I believe NAS, NIV said, let's make a treaty. Is it something like that in NAS? Yeah. And so it's either saying let's form a treaty or let's refresh this treaty that's there and it's been lying dormant. And so it's like, well, here's the threat from the north. Here, take this silver and gold. It was a political maneuver. It was a political maneuver that he chose over reliance on the Lord. Now, is it always wrong to make a political maneuver? No, that's not what this text is saying, is it? Is it always wrong? Is it wrong to be involved in politics? Well, really that's yes and no, because it depends on that person's heart and the direction of their heart. It can be, or it might not. In this case, it was. Because we know from the holy record here that he did that because he was not fully committed to God. He did not rely on the Lord. He decided, hey, we can do this. We can handle this politically. Send the gold and silver. And it's going to be very interesting as we work our way through this. So we see a king on the decline chooses a political maneuver over reliance on the Lord. Verses 4 to 6. And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies. Oh, well. Sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abelmaim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. He chose a political maneuver over reliance on the Lord, and guess what? It worked like a charm. He paid the gold and silver to Ben-Hadad. Baasha saw what was going on. He withdrew. It worked out so well, in fact, that all the building materials that Baasha had been putting into this fortress at Ramah, he was able to take all of that and in two other places go fortify his borderline in these other two cities. It just had worked out so well. No one got killed. They weren't slinging arrows and throwing spears and swinging the sword. It just worked out really well, or so that it seemed. Verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you." Now, wait a minute. The battle wasn't with Syria. The battle was with, it wasn't Ben-Hadad with and Syria. It was Baasha and Israel. What's going on here? Took a little while before that finally clicked what that said. It's like, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't that be that the army of Baasha, king of Israel, escaped you? But this is God's word, isn't it? See, we will see sometimes an opportunity. And from our perspective, it's like, hey, I can do that. That'll work. But we could almost, we could almost guarantee that it will never be the opportunity that God would give us, and it will never be as great. Now, it's really saying it here. It doesn't come out directly, but it's right there staring us in the face. And it took me a while before, ding, that the light bulb came on. What was Hanani? Because I could say, this is now a rebuke. God was not pleased with King Asa. What is he telling him? I would have given you both of those kings. What happened in those 25 years? He lost his vision of the greatness of God and the glory of God. He had it back when that million-man army was threatening back in chapter 14. Something happened. Did life get too easy? Too prosperous? I don't know what happened, but something happened there and he lost sight of that. Back to you, faithful spirits at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. Let's not lose sight of the opportunity that God would give us because we are just focused. Oh God, we could do that. We could do that. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong with bringing, but that always God is involved and always reliance and God is involved. You follow what I'm saying with that? We will not aim high enough, Faith Fellowship Church. This isn't stir up the troops, spin something, throw it. This is, I think, the Spirit of God speaking to me through this text to communicate what I actually, the honest, authentic, sincere, what I believe we have in this fellowship if we will believe God for it. But that's what we have to do. And we won't get it if we've got our foot backed off the accelerator. We won't get it with a half commitment to the Lord. Fully committed to the Lord. And boy, we've got the potential here. Like the truck drivers would say, even when they get a new truck, "How's that new truck doing, Charlie?" "Oh, I'm getting the bugs worked out of her, but I sure like it." Well, we got some bugs to work out, don't we? Because you know why? We're people. People are people. God's God, the devil's the devil. He'll stir us up. All those things. But don't ever think for one minute because of our failings, because of our weaknesses, that God isn't looking eyes to and fro across the earth for those who are fully committed to Him. And we, at least figuratively, join hands. I've tempted more than once just to have us just right in the middle of the service, just everybody just hang on to each other. We are in this together. We don't want to miss the opportunity. The opportunity, it will be a by faith proposition. And if you're like me, you'll be a little afraid to believe it. Good boy, we're getting out there on that faith limb. Getting out there on that plank. It's just going to get right down to it. Or we've got to trust God. We get to the point of no return. It's like, I've got to trust God. What did they tell Jesus? Well, where else? Because Jesus pushed them away. Some of the things he said, and several of them walked away, and Jesus turned around and said, you leaving too? Good old Peter. Where else would we go, Lord? Where else would we go for the words of eternal life? See, it comes down to that. It's just all the eggs in the basket, fully committed. The army of the king of Assyria has escaped you. Verse 8, we're not the Ethiopians. Now, this is back in chapter 14. You've got this on your timeline. We're not the Ethiopians and the Libyans, a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet, because you relied on the Lord, because you relied on the Lord, He gave them into your hand. Why? Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those half-hearted believers. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't say that, does it? To those with their backed off the accelerator. No, strong support to those whose heart is blameless. What that means, some of your Bibles have fully committed, completely committed, fully committed, blameless toward Him. He told King Asa, this is Hanani speaking for the Lord, you have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. That move that he made with the gold and silver and making that treaty, that political move, maneuver, man, it looked great. Can you hear the accolades in the temple court and in the court of the king? And wow, and on top of that, we not only got rid of Baasha, but we were able to take all the building materials from that fortress he was intimidating us with, and we were able to shore up our defenses. Man, this was a plan, but it wasn't God's plan. But it wasn't God's plan. Faith Fellowship Church, we want God's plan, don't we? You do. I know you do. That's so encouraging to me. In spite of our, you know, we all struggle here and there. We got stuff going on. We're all lunkheads every now and then, sometimes more often than not. But we've, I believe, have it. I'm not a flatterer. I'm not selling anything. I am telling you about what I think God is telling me to communicate to you. And there's a true spirit of faithfulness here. Let's let God show us and empower us in the opportunities that He would give. The king no longer relied on the Lord. He seized the opportunity that he saw, but he missed the opportunity God would have given. The king no longer relied on the Lord because he was not fully committed to the Lord. The Lord was looking for people. See, he's looking for you and he's looking for me. Let's see, this would have been 2,600 years ago, something like that, 26 centuries ago, somewhere around their ballpark. Still true. Same God, still looking for His people. We're the saints of God. Remember Ephesians? Hagios? The holy ones of God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Just continue believing God for that. The Lord was looking for people to give His strong support, but only found a foolish king who had lost his spiritual edge. Having missed his opportunity, having this missed opportunity pointed out to him, he lashed out. And see, this says a lot too about, we don't know what happened in those 25 years, but it wasn't good. Because when the prophet of God came and spoke God's rebuke to King Asa, he did like all weak, sinful people do. He lashed out cruelly to the people around him. Said in verse 10, then Asa was angry with the seer, the prophet, and put him in the stocks in prison. I'll fix you for telling me God's word. He put the prophet in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. This is somebody who they lost their way. This isn't the same man back in 2 Chronicles 14. It's not the same person. Well, it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? He's not there with God as he was. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. The acts of Asa from first to last are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became very severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord. This is a bitter, angry man. He walked away from God. He did not trust God. He did not rely on God. God rebuked him. He would not accept it. God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of great, overpowering love. If Asa had bowed himself, even to Manasseh, regarded by, called the most wicked of the kings of the north. God even had mercy on Manasseh when Manasseh repented and humbled himself, not Asa. I'll not take this to God, it said. Did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. Is it wrong seeking help from physicians? I hope not, or I've sinned a lot lately. No, but the point here is he left God out of the picture. He left God out. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. Now here's a gracious God. There was a lot of good. We didn't look at all the good stuff that he did early in chapter 14. You can see that on your timeline. You can go back and read it. But they buried him in a tomb that he had cut for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier that had been filled with various kinds of spices prepared by the perfumer's art, and they made a very great fire. They honored him greatly. They made a very great fire in his honor. They honored. He sure ended poorly. But he did a lot of good. Now, if you end poorly, God's not going to reject you. He's got John, what's John 10:28? He's got you. He's got you. But we don't want to end poorly, do we? Back off. You know what? We're more physically frail than we used to be, aren't we? We don't. Carrie and I heard something the other day. We were watching TV and both of us were afraid to say what we thought we heard. Let's rewind that and see. That sounded too crazy. It sounded too crazy to, so what? Is mouth work? You can share the gospel? And have two young boys here that people reached out to him, out going to our neighborhood, 99 years old, going to go visit somebody. And so we don't remember as well as we used to. So our bodies are more frail. I'm probably going to wobble around with this hip for the rest of my life. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe a hip surgery one of these days gives me a little bit of alignment. I don't know. So big deal. We've got moments, folks. So, you know, what is the saying? If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. Is that?
If you fail to plan,
you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I don't like it. A lot of times people throw things at us like that, or because they're kind of challenging us, or if you've ever had somebody to try to kind of get you on your heels by saying, and where do you plan to be in 5 years? And where do you plan to be in 10 years? And, you know, but this is not what this is. But this last question, are you planning to end well? Are we planning to end well right up to the last breath? I think we've got some of that here at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. I think we've got a lot of that at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. Would Paul write to Timothy, stir up that gift? Let's stir that up. I'm not talking about going off and just running off and doing. I'm talking about listening to God. I'm talking about not believing the world around us, not doing planning from a human perspective. I'm talking about letting God in completely and fully, giving us His view of forever. I'm talking about not taking opportunities we think that we can do and we haven't prayed and put it before God, but being open. Maybe God spoke to us about that opportunity, but that we don't aim lower than what God would have for us. And we're 60 and we're 50 and we're 80 and we're 87 and we're 99. So what? We have many moments, many days, many weeks, many years to impact forever. I think you're with me on that. This was started before we ever came. He pulled pieces here and there, and He got a hold of Carrie and me and brought us over and just fit us right in with this group. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for moving in our hearts. We thank You for opportunity, Lord, to be light on the planet of darkness. Father, to raise the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit against the dark enemy, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to redeem the time, to buy every single moment, to not back off in any way, Lord, that we allow You to give us Your perspective on the timeline of our lives. Father, we pray that You would use every last drop of our lives, every last breath, in service to our King, and we will rejoice with You forever. In Jesus' name, amen.